Good morning. So good to be with you all here in presence and those of you who are joining us through the internet. These are challenging times. I would just realize myself every time I sign myself and I bump in this machine and I feel a little bit hot in here. These are challenging times. The fear of COVID, where are we going with this pandemic? I was hoping that by now we would all be back in church, and it doesn't seem to be a reality. The racial tensions we're seeing in our country over and over again, black men killed, riots, violence, the political circus we find ourselves in. Let's not forget climate change, which has not disappeared, and many other things that as a society, as a nation, as a world, as people, we are engaged in this struggle, this challenge, these very difficult times. And that difficulty that we all experience together is compounded by our personal struggles, our own personal health issues, family situations. It makes it so much more difficult. And I want to address this reality that we find ourselves in, and to acknowledge that the uncomfortability we find ourselves is what many people in the world is their daily task, their daily fare. Many people who struggle, this is their daily. Blacks, indigenous, people of color, this is their struggle for centuries. People who do not have access to health care, this is their struggle, their fear. It is something that is part of their lives. So we get a chance to experience a little bit of what many people in our world is their daily life. As people of faith, when we are faced with these challenges that are sometimes a bit too much for some of us, we need to find that inner resource. And in our spiritual practice can be that spiritual nourishment, strength, the inner resources to face these challenges and have the right heart. Without that spiritual transformation, the changes we want in our world, in our society, may not touch the deeper needs. If we just change because we want to change, but it doesn't come from a place of wholeness and healing, we will just continue repeating the same egoic structures that mar our world today. And today, what I would like to invite us all is to focus on the value of prayer. Prayer. This is what we do every Sunday as we gather, even through the internet. We're here to pray. And I would like to invite you to consider, what is prayer? Prayer can be described as a vehicle for transformation. I know when I say prayer, many of you probably are thinking is asking God, sort of like this giant Santa Claus up in the sky, that somehow we just give this list of things we want. That is not prayer. Prayer is something much deeper. It could include praying for somebody or for myself. But prayer is so much more. Prayer, there's a beautiful quote from the fathers and mothers of the desert. And I'll read that little story. Abbot Lot came to Abbot Joseph and said, "Father, according to my capacity, I keep my little rule, my little fast, my prayer, my meditation, my contemplative silence, and according as I'm able, I cleanse my heart of evil thoughts. Now, what more should I do?" The elder stood up in reply. He stretched out his arms to heaven, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. He said, "This, become totally changed into fire. Become totally changed into fire." I think it's one of the most beautiful definitions of prayer. He didn't mention prayer, go and ask God, is transform, become fire. And what a beautiful quest that we all are transformed into fire, which is to be transformed into love, into compassion, transformed into God. Prayer is such of importance in our lives that even Jesus, that we consider the Son of God, needed prayer. We read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Later on in chapter 6, verse 46, after saying goodbye to the people, Jesus went up onto a mountain to pray. Luke 6:12, during that time, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night long. Interesting. Early in the morning, late at night, and sometimes even the whole night, Jesus would spend in prayer to God. That was his personal prayer, but he also joined with his disciples. He went to the synagogues in Nazareth and Capernaum. He went to the temple in Jerusalem and prayed with his fellow Jews. His way of praying was so distinct and so alluring that even his disciples said, "Hey, I like that. Can you teach me?" Something in the way that Jesus prayed touched the lives of the disciples, says, "I want that. Can you teach me?" The way that Jesus prayed to God was such a moving experience that led his disciples to want, to desire that communion with God. Now, Jesus was also critical of prayer. He detected sometimes that our prayer can be non-spiritual. Maybe we could call it materialistic prayer. When it's full of empty words, formulas that we just repeat without putting our minds and our hearts into it, he said that is vain prayer, just a lot of mumbling of words. And when we do prayer to show off, when we want other people to say, "See how I pray?" So Jesus was critical. And by him being critical, what he wanted, I think, was to invite us to go deeper, to not remain on the surface of prayer, but to go to the deeper parts of our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and discover the presence of God within. What is prayer? Prayer is the ascent of our minds, our hearts to God. It is the spiritual lifting of our hearts towards God that we call Father or Mother. This is why Holy Communion is so important, and probably it's the greatest symbol of prayer. When we receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, that is what prayer is. Entering in a total communion and unity with the divine. I love a little quote from Teresa of Lisieux. She's called the Little Flower. She was a French nun, and she died very young, in her 20s. And she described her prayer this way. "For me, prayer is the surge of a heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy." Prayer is developed. Prayer is a discipline, a practice. It probably begins with our lips, our bodies. Then it goes into our minds, so that prayer no longer is simply a mechanical repetition of words, but it involves our minds and our hearts. Prayer descends deeply into our hearts, reaching the deepest recesses of our being, and becomes part of who we are. In the end, we become prayer. In our heart, prayer becomes connected with the center of who we are, and thus with God. Paul invited us to pray always. 1 Thessalonians, he wrote to us, "Pray continually." The Psalms have been for a long time a way in which Christians and Jews pray to God. The Psalms have been used as a way to teach us to pray. Jesus used the Psalms. You know, one that we heard a lot at the cross when Jesus is hanging on the cross just before dying, he says these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That really is a psalm. It's Psalm 22. So at the end of his life, in the moment of his most difficult trance, the most difficult trial, hanging on a cross full of pain, knowing he was dying, what he holds on is to the Psalms. He knows he probably repeated it millions of times in his life. And in that moment when he doesn't know what else, what he holds on to is this psalm, Psalm 22. You only have the first, the beginning, but he used the Psalms as a way to express his deepest and most profound feelings. Oh God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalms have been part of the daily prayer of the church for many, many centuries, millennia. It is the core of our prayers. Have you noticed we're not doing any more Eucharist and we've done morning prayer? And even though what Vicky did today, she prayed two psalms, and some people say, why are there so many psalms now in church? That is part of the old, ancient tradition of praying the daily office or the divine office, as it's often called. The prayers, this prayer is the heart and the core of it are the psalms. Because monks and nuns discovered very early on that in these psalms are a beautiful way to teach us to pray. I want to invite us all, including myself, and as you know, I always preach to myself, in these very difficult times, sometimes we let go of our prayer life. Sometimes we don't have time. I was talking with Hugh about that. Sometimes we're so busy or worried or concerned about things, and prayer says that's just another thing to do. But I want to invite you to reevaluate the role of prayer in our lives, especially as we face these challenging times. Again, prayer is much, much more than simply asking for stuff. God is not Santa Claus. And I want you to look at today's psalm, one of them, Psalm 63, as a model and a moving explanation of what prayer can be. And I'll share three different translations. I like to use different translations as like looking at a gem and moving it around, these different words helping us understand the deeper meaning. And it's a beautiful psalm. The Common English Bible translators, which is the one that Vicky just read, God, my God, it's you. I search for you. My whole being thirsts for you. My body desires you. In a dry and tired land, no water anywhere. Yes, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen your power and glory. My lips praise you because your faithful love is better than life itself. The New Revised Standard Version. Oh God, you are my God. I ask you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. And finally, a translation that's called the Passion Translation. O God of my life, listen to this way he interprets it. I'm lovesick for you in this weary wilderness. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you more, with cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearning grips my soul for you, my God. I'm energized every time I enter your heavenly sanctuary to seek more of your power and drink in more of your glory. For your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. How I love and praise you, God. Daily I will worship you, passionately and with all my heart. What a beautiful description of what prayer can be. Imagine if we face our challenges with such a deep connection to God that transforms us in our most innermost being. So once more, I invite us all together to re-examine the role of prayer in our lives as we face the different challenges. Some might say, I don't know how to pray. I'll end with a little Hasidic tale. Late one evening, a poor farmer on his way back from the market found himself without his prayer book. The wheel of his cart had come off right in the middle of the road, and it distressed him that this day should pass without him having said his prayers. He didn't have his prayer book. So this is the prayer he made. O God, I have done something very foolish. I come away from home this morning without my prayer book, and my memory is such that I cannot recite a single prayer without it. So this is what I'm going to do. I shall recite the alphabet 5 times, very slowly. And you, to whom all prayers are known, can put the letters together to form the prayers I can't remember. And the Lord said to his angels, oh, of all the prayers I've heard today, this one was undoubtedly the best because it came from a heart that was simple and sincere. Brothers and sisters, go and do likewise. Amen.